Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Mr. Jesse Billington. And tonight, as I was about half an hour ago, I can joyfully welcome back to the show Miss Ellie Mae Taylor and Mr. Timo Albus Daly. How are you both?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not doing too bad myself. Been out and about today shooting for Classic Car Weekly. You'll have already heard this story if you listened to our season predictions episode. If you haven't, go listen to that. And if you don't want to, I drove an MGF and the brake caliper fell off. It was all very exciting. Timo, what have you been up to?
Not breaking down in old cars as per usual. So I'm already winning on that. I'm just generally pretty darn good, thank you.
Excellent. Are we ready to do our first race preview of the season?
It feels right. Australia is back at the start, as it should be. It should never have gone away. This is how we're meant to start. If you're not getting up at a stupid time in the morning, if you're in Europe, you haven't properly started the F1 season. And all the people who came along with Drive to Survive kind of later on, they've not experienced this yet. And it's good. They need this kind of baptism.
No, if they came along... Oh, no.
Not all of them did.
No, none of them would have done, because the first year of that was 2019, wasn't it?
Very possible. I honestly can't remember at this point.
No, because I'm sure I was in my second year of uni.
What year did Drive Survive Season 1 cover? Drive Survive Season 1. Released in 2019.
So the 2018
season. But if you found Drive Survive, you would have...
Yeah, you'd have had one race in 2019.
Yeah, you would have seen the last time
we had it.
Yeah, you'd have seen the 2019 season anew as a DTS fan and therefore experienced one Australian Grand Prix opener. Glad we've cleared that up. Anyway, Fraser and I blew through much of the news ahead of this weekend when we did our big sort of off-season news haul. But there is still some news to come out because, as always, it's a constant news cycle. And breaking news from yesterday was that Oscar Piastri has extended his McLaren contract. He was previously contracted until 2026 at Woking. And while the language around the news is vague and the term length undefined, rumours from members of the team purport it to be until 2028. Do we think this is a smart move? Do we think that Zak Brown is shoring up some drivers that might otherwise be snaffled by other teams?
It is a smart move. He likes to lock in his drivers very early, doesn't he? I mean, we haven't even had the first race yet. And he did something similar with Norris, didn't he? He locked him in for a while.
Mm.
It makes sense, though, and to echo what you say, it's an easy slam dunk for McLaren and potentially probably wanted to eliminate any risk of, I'd say, Ferrari being the main contender to want to steal him.
Maybe Red Bull?
Maybe, but I don't know if you would go there with how they are at the moment. I think if Ferrari goes the way that we think they will, then that's the team most likely to try and steal someone like Piastri, especially if and when Lewis retires. That could be the sort of thing to happen by the end of now his current contract, whenever that might be. So to have a Piastri-Leclerc lineup at Ferrari or somehow a Hamilton-Piastri lineup at Ferrari is quite an exciting idea. So for McLaren to go, no, we're going to keep him, thank you very much, is quite a smart thing to do. And for Piastri to potentially not be tempted to do what he did to Alpine. As funny as that would be for him to do that twice.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got to make sure that the he signed
contract
on the
contract is very firm.
You don't have a situation.
Dare I say that Ferrari might possibly look at the idea of a Piastri-Sainz lineup.
What happened to Leclerc?
I don't know, but we've already touted the idea that Leclerc is replaced by Piastri and we end up with a Piastri-Hamilton lineup, so we'll see. Anyway, it's just some interesting things. Of course, Ferrari said to Carlos Sainz, the door is always open. Speaking of doors open, Jody Eggington has left one open at VCARB as he's left the team as technical director, moving to Red Bull's advanced technologies team, essentially sort of moving to the overarching group that covers both teams to do a bit of sort of engineering for them. This does leave Tim Goss, Guillaume Cattiani and Andrea Landi covering his duties moving forwards. It's an interesting one given that possibly moving closer and closer back to the time that VCARB is just basically a sort of parts development team for the big boys.
I think as well with what you've got with Red Bull Advanced Technologies, as Adrian Newey proved, who doesn't want to go and play in that sandbox a little bit, even if you do work primarily in F1. Three people to replace one, though, always intrigues me, and I'll be interested to see how that one pans out over the course of the year, and if one of them ultimately takes the job or someone new comes in instead. Because for me, it's just intriguing because three for one job, it's kind of how important was that one person? Or how it kind of makes you think, is that one person really difficult to live up to? Or are these three just, you need the three of them because none of them individually are good enough to step in themselves? It just kind of leaves you with a few more questions than answers.
But they're all taking over the parts that they all specialize in anyway, aren't they? I think so.
That's why it's intriguing.
They're just expanding their own pools to sort of cover the bits that Jodie's leaving exposed. I think Tim or Guillaume would be the ideal sort of man to step up and fill in that role as a one-person job. So we'll see how that pans out. Meanwhile, speaking of stepping up, Kush Miney steps up to be the test and reserve driver at Alpine, which is a very busy role at the moment. He's been part of their driver academy for a while, but now he joins Colapinto, Haryanto, and Paul Aron in that sector. A lot of people looking to get their mitts on the A523, whatever we're on this year. I can't remember what this year's chassis is called. So, interesting.
Well, I
Can't
assume
remember
they'll
what.
do the rookie pre-practice sessions for them, won't they? Because Colapinto won't be able to do them, so.
Yeah, because Colapinto no longer a rookie. So, mind you, Paul Aron has been available and doing that for ages. So why wouldn't they just keep using Paul Aron?
Haven't they changed, or are they changing the way that the rookie tests are done, though? Don't you now have to have two different drivers or something?
Going to say they're upping the amount of sessions, I think, and making you split it between more than one or two drivers, I think, from memory. So they could do both, which kind of unintentionally anyway gives a nice segue to the comment I was going to say, though, which Miney did have an underwhelming year
Yeah,
last year
it's
in F2, but did play an excellent team game for Bortoleto. And of the four that they've got, you do have to say that Colapinto and, or sorry, Colapinto, Miney and Aaron are the two kind of front runners after Colapinto to take any seats there. And I don't think that Boone will feel under pressure any more than he already is from these four now. I think Colapinto is the only real threat, but I think you'd put Miney ahead of Aaron just because Miney's still racing, he's still fresh, and if he can take advantage of these new rules that you mentioned that he made, then he's going to just be able to be more in tune with that car. So if for whatever reason Colapinto can't, or they find themselves in a real alpining situation where they need to replace both drivers, he could do that.
Worth noting, yeah, you're correct, that the young driver free practices increase from once per season per car to twice per season per car. So there is scope for Aaron and Miney to get a couple of sort of couple of goes around in the FP1 session. So we'll see how that pans out. In other news, Jacques Villeneuve got trapped in a bathroom. On his way to Australia, Villeneuve got stuck in a bathroom for 30 minutes with security unable to get him out. The Canadian resorted to kicking the door down himself. While this ultimately freed him, it somehow also caused part of the ceiling to collapse on him. It's not big news, but it is quite funny news. He did some Instagram post about it. Go and have a look if you haven't.
I take this as karma for Ellie May bringing you up in a pub quiz years ago as a left field question, and this is finally the universe allowing us to have our revenge.
Allowing us to once again laugh at the
I
concept
mean, it never
of
stopped
Jacques
us from
Villeneuve.
laughing at him, but
No. This just frees us up to do it again.
I didn't know that he could grow hair. That was the shocking thing to come out of the off season for me.
Oh yeah, he looks like some sort of absolutely yoked Father Christmas. It's strange.
Yeah, just one day suddenly he just appeared with a beard and a head of hair.
It's at this point in time that I'd like to, announce an advertisement for any members of Jackass who might be listening, saying there's a fresh target available for you to do one of your excellent pranks on. Could you please make this happen, please, and thank you.
I was just going to say, clearly he's been going to the same barber as Pierre Gasly, maybe. But again, that's all speculation. Moving on from Jacques Villeneuve to Jonathan Wheatley, who becomes Stake Team Principal from the 1st of April. This is his sort of final part of his transition from Red Bull to Stake, and we'll essentially see him in place, ready for when Audi arrives. Yeah, sure, why not, I guess. April 1st, I think, is just the first day that's available to him because he's obviously been put onto gardening leave from Red Bull. So he sort of forgets all of his Milton Keynes magic before arriving at the gambling team.
Just amusing that it's April 1st, considering it's steak. I think it's good, though, that at least a bit like the drivers, they can focus on building themselves into the team and getting to know each other for next year. And more importantly, Mattia Binotto can now focus on the technical side of things, which he can actually do. Because I think that was one of the biggest mishaps that Ferrari and he, as an individual himself, have ever done. Is good to have ambition to go forward, but know what you're doing. That generally helps.
He gave it a try, maybe overextended his capabilities. I think that was the issue that Binotto found. And back on firmer ground, now he's sort of overseeing technical stuff.
I can't think of the word of what how I've like what Jonathan Wheatley's personality is, but like I feel like he's a very like calculated man. Like, does that make sense?
Very authoritarian, very sort of
Too far, I
rules-based,
think.
didactic.
I think he's got a very clever brain, kind of sneaky.
A man
Like,
that doesn't enjoy pornography being live streamed to his computer on the pit wall.
yeah, maybe that too.
That's why I didn't join Alpine with Flat.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want is Flavio Briatore and his suspicious taste of internet-based grot. Anyway, moving on from that to the more firm news of Stefano Domenicali, who extends his tenure as the CEO of Formula One until at least 2029. Hopefully, he'll provide a slightly better hand guiding the ship as the elections for new FIA president loom large. And hopefully, we vote out Mohamed Ben Sulayem because not been a favourable figure for quite some time. There is word that Susie Wolf is looking at taking that role. But of course, that raises again the question of conflict of interest, given her husband is team principal for Mercedes. But we'll see what happens there.
This is fine, I suppose, especially as I'm not sure who would replace Domenicali just yet, and there aren't any obvious candidates. But at the same time, it's not a ringing endorsement when I'm just putting up with him because I don't know who would replace him.
Well,
I've
given
not
the
been his
sort,
biggest fan in charge of F1, but again, considering the lack of other options, I'd rather at least it's someone who can see has a past in Formula One that's been there for a long time and that's actual relevant experience rather than just plucking someone left field and popping them in there. That being said, I still am not the biggest fan of this combination of people being in charge of the FIA and Formula One respectively.
I mean, the pipeline of Ferrari team principal to sort of leading figure in the FIA or Formula One does suggest that there is a universe where Mattia Binotto becomes CEO of Formula One,
Please
which is
don't.
dangerous. Or, well, Maurizio Riva Bene, what's he up to these days? I don't know. He could
I'll
do it.
trust him with it more.
Yeah, maybe he could do it. Or maybe he should run for FIA president. Who knows? Anyway, we'll move on from the news to the Australian Grand Prix, which looms large in the horizon. And we've got some fun facts. This is the first time the race, it's been the hosting the first race of the season since 2019. It should have been 2020, but we all know what happened there. Technically, on the day of recording, which is the 12th of March, on this day in 2020, they announced that the Grand Prix would not be going ahead due to the pandemic, the looming pandemic. There should have been every other year since, but no excuse for those years. We've had other things in its place.
Not a fan, should always be Australia. It's a crime.
Yeah, you can tell that Timo wrote the second half of that sentence, but yeah,
Am I not correct, though?
you're not wrong. I think that
Therefore, being
Australia.
correct.
Much like I believe that Brazil should be the final race of the season.
I love how you say that as if I'm going to disagree with you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find sort of like another common argument that people might get to. Last time Australia was the season opener, Norris, Russell, and Albon were making their Formula One debuts, and Hamilton was the defending champion coming off of his fifth title. Leclerc was making his debut with Ferrari, and it was Honda's first podium since 2008. So a lot has changed since we saw Australia as the season opener.
Has a lot changed?
Well, I mean,
Welcome to philosophy with Eddie Taylor.
globally, socially, personally, for myself, I'd say yes. Within the sport, I'd say a lot as well. I mean, with onto a new series of technical regulations. We're seeing a new period of dominance from another team that's now fast waning. Hamilton's earned another two championships and moved from one Premier League team to another. We've seen the rise and start of fall of Max Verstappen, I dare say. We've seen a new wave of rookies have come in. We've seen the sort of diminishment of Haas and potential return of Haas and Williams in the sport. We've seen a
Sorry,
lot
did Haas have
happen.
a high point?
Yeah, when they started and they finished P5 in the championship and then just sort of promptly
Oh, that
nosedived
one
after
race
that.
in Bahrain.
Well, no, they finished P5 in a championship in
Was
their
that since
first year.
2019?
Not since 2019, but we've seen the
Well, then
gradual
it's null
decline
and
of
void
them.
then.
They started in 2015, I want to say. But my
Famously
argument is,
before 2019.
yes, but my argument is we've seen a lot change in the sport.
But we've only had two drivers champion.
Yes, but look at where McLaren have
She's
come
just
from.
shit-stirring with you now. Look at her.
You look at the small details. Stop being such a DTS fan. And I say that derisively. Yeah, cutting statement. Anyway, it's time to make some predictions for what could be a wet opening race to the season. Who are we putting money on for pole position? Timo, we'll
Putting
start with
money on
you.
Ellie Mae killing you by the end of the season if you keep making comments like that about drive design.
By the end of the season,
By
I
the
was
end of the
being very
month.
generous, giving you a long period with which to operate in.
End of the month. Timo, who are you putting on pole position?
Charles Leclerc.
Lovely. I think it's a
I
good
don't feel
shout.
like I need to defend a reason why there.
No. I feel opening race weekend is tricky to try and argue for or defend against it because we've not actually seen the cars turn a wheel in anger yet. All we've
And
seen
I
is testing.
think this statistic here is 4 of the last 10 years, whoever won the opening race won the season. So that backs up my season prediction for Leclerc
No, that
champion.
can't be right because Charles Leclerc won Bahrain and Max
I
Verstappen
said
won.
4 of 10,
So it's not
but
exactly a
4 of the last 10 years.
high %, is it?
Oh, I thought you said
No,
it.
but it's a fun stat.
It's a fun
And I'm just
stat, but
going, it's a fun way of him still being the underdog for that because it'll help balance the scales.
it's 40%.
yeah, it's
It's
a
not a
and he's going to
majority. increase it a little bit. I'm going to push the needle.
It's not a majority.
No, but that's what gets it even more impressive.
Anyway,
The boy Charles alone, Ellie Mae.
Ellie Mae, your pole position prediction, please.
At Lando Norris.
Sensible. And I've gone for the other half of the McLaren garage. Oscar Piastri is going to get a nice cheeky pole at home in Melbourne. Podiums wise, Timo, what are you going to go for?
Hamilton, Leclerc, Piastri. Although, to be perfectly honest, and I may ask and be a little cheeky here, this will be the one weekend the entire year, which is already something I'm thinking of regretting because of Silverstone. But if those three just finish on the podium in any order, can I get points?
No.
Just this one.
For this race or for any
No.
race?
Just the, oh no, just, no, because then I'm stuck with those three all season long for my predictions, and I'm not going to be quite that locked into myself. Because I'll be honest, I don't need the points, but I think as much as I predict this, I'll be happy if it's any combination of those three. So I thought I'd just try and chance my arm with that one. Just see, Birdie Mae clearly wouldn't even let me finish the sentence there before
No.
she was already denying me that. Well,
I'm gonna.
everyone's savaged me today, so. I've not done anything too bad. You haven't backed me up either. Isn't that just as bad? I have,
Yeah,
but have I not?
where's your allyship,
I'm sorry. What?
Google it.
No, I understood. I was more going with the irony of you being the one saying it.
Yeah, I know that's why it's funny. This has been the joke explanation hour. Ellie Mae, your podium prediction, please.
Norris, Piastri, Leclerc.
And I've gone for the remix of Piastri Leclerc Norris for mine. So I reckon 81 is going to bang it on the top step of the rostrum for his home race. I think he's got it in him. If anything, just to annoy his sister, who's grown sick of seeing pictures of her brother everywhere she looks at the moment, which has been quite funny.
She could have left the country.
She could have, but I mean, that's a long way to go to just simply try and avoid seeing pictures of your brother plastered around an entire city. But hey,
Yeah,
there
New
we go.
Zealand's right there. It's all right. It's only 3 hours away.
Right there and 3 hours away are two conflicting phrases of
Yeah, but for Australia,
dialect.
that's pretty
Yeah, this
convenient.
is true. Yeah, just over there is 3 hours for Australians. Fastest lap, which I think we still should try and take a punt at. despite the fact that you don't get a point for it now. The fastest lap still exists. Someone will still do a fastest lap, but it won't be like the tactical thing that someone boxes on the final lap for softs to do or something ridiculous. So, Timo, your fastest lap prediction, please.
Lando Norris, because it'd just be funny for him to now start doing it when it doesn't get points.
Yeah, sensible. I'm going for your prediction from your same sort of concept of it'd be funny for him to start doing it now. Now he doesn't get points for it. Carlos Sainz, who failed to get you one for most of last year, I recall.
Most of last year and all of the year before.
Before, yes, yeah, it was quite a long time coming, that one.
I still have my, we all have our own Vietnams.
Yeah, you hear sort of smooth operator and the sound of Huey helicopters when you think about Carlos Sainz and fastest laps. Ellie Mae, your fastest lap prediction, please.
Hamilton.
And wild predictions. Timo.
Zero retirements.
I don't know how I feel about that. I don't think you're getting a point for that. I don't think that's happening.
That's why it's
I
wild.
think that's, I think you could. The car,
Oh, of course you could. Well, yes, but also 2023.
Yeah.
Safety cars breed safety cars, and safety cars breed accidents and wet weather. Ellie Mae, your wild prediction?
I've gone for a rookie on the podium, and then I said that that includes Alonso as well, and I'm probably going to have to stipulate that also now includes Lawson too.
You know what, Ellie Mae? I'm going to back you up
Thank
again.
you.
Yeah. Just because you went on a pedalo together.
Yeah, this much.
Yeah, you know what? Fine, I'll allow it. If Alonso gets that Aston Martin on the podium, I'll be a surprise. Meanwhile, I'm going for a Haas double
Just
points finish.
carries it on physically, going, I know I
Yeah.
didn't finish third, guys, but just
This is what
early
he
on.
said on the podcast. I'm doing this to get 1 point for someone I've never met on a podcast I don't listen to, literally heaving the AMR 25 onto a podium. I'm going to go for a Haas double points finish. I think they're going to start the season off strong, and I'm interested to see what Ocon and Behrman can do around that circuit and what developments we've seen to the car. So, yeah.
Oh, have a wild prediction.
Hang on, sorry, just the double points include on their license. If I could see that
No, I
for
mean double
Haas.
points for the Drivers' Championship, not penalty points on their super license. Ellie Mae, you've got a guessed wild prediction you'd like to include.
I do. It comes from Matt, who I work with. He said his wild prediction would be that Lando and Max collide, the Ferraris explode and cause a fireball that wipes out the rest of the grid except for Sainz, who wins the World Drivers' Championship by default in the first race, as all other team garages have burnt down and cannot rebuild them due to budget constraints.
I don't know how I've only got a very small box on the Excel spreadsheet. I don't know how I'm supposed to fit that in there.
You're going to have to just make the font smaller.
Yeah. So
Or
Lando and Max crash. Both
Ferraris
Ferraris
essentially crash as well.
crash
It's
and burn.
but they cause a fireball that wipes out the rest of the grid except for Sainz, who then wins the World Drivers' Championship by default because all other team garages have burnt down and cannot rebuild them due to budget constraints.
I think that last bit's the bit where the prediction falls down, to be honest.
Or if you would like a simpler wild prediction, both RBs. As in Red Bulls are knocked out in Q2.
I might go with the
Seems a
second
lot
one.
more
That
clean
would,
in comparison now.
yeah, that it would also fit in the little box, so I might have to plump for that one. Or both Red Bulls out in Q2.
I like that Sainz is now World Drivers' Champion.
I'd rather it didn't have to be such a violent way of claiming it.
Does it involve the death of all the other drivers, or just their sort
I'd
of?
hope not.
I don't think so, no.
We're just going for sort of Niki Lauda levels of sort of maimed
I'd
and
rather not
therefore
that
cannot
much
take
either, to
part.
be honest.
No,
That's a lot of
it's
burns
Roman
still.
Grosjean. It's a lot of burns, but I mean, he still went on and won championships afterwards, so it can't have been that bad.
No, it's Roman Grosjean.
Okay, a little bit singed around
And
the
no
tips.
one's damaged too badly.
Okay,
And
human
you've gone about
lives.
your shoe a lot.
Yeah. Your shoe came off and your hands hurt. Okay.
Or maybe like Jos Verstappen. He was unharmed, wasn't
Well,
he?
everyone becomes a prick and beats their wife. Oh, wait, Harry, you can't say that. Anyway, before we get cancelled before the first race of the season, they
Who's
are
we? You.
me. I
We
think
didn't say shit.
I'm taking this all down in this one. You're not coming out of this unscathed.
No.
This is a sort of a group chat leaks and four people lose their job sort of scenario.
Who's the
Anyway,
fourth person?
that's the worrying part. Anyway, predictions out of the way. The Australian Grand Prix looms ahead of us. So, of course, everyone get ready to wake up at 4 a.m. for what we hope to be an exciting season opener as Australia retakes its position at the start of the championship for 2025. That's all we've got time for on this week's episode. In the meantime, Ellie Mae, where can the people find you?
I'll be trying to sleep so that I can then get up at 4 a.m. in the morning to watch the Grand Prix
Sensible.
and make up for the lost hours of sleep.
Smart idea. Timo, will you be up to anything else this week?
No, because I have made the oh so wise decision of volunteering to cover far too much of this weekend, so I'm going to be strategically napping at all kinds of times of day because I'll be probably watching and potentially covering practice sessions for F1, qualifying sessions for feeder series, and then obviously staying awake to watch qualifying and the race, plus the races themselves for the feeder series. So I'll sleep at some point, but I don't know quite when, and that's all so I can write some articles and all that kind of jazz for everything F1, which is therefore the plug I'm going to use here, as I
You should
so
just, you
smoothly
should,
did
yeah,
that.
just,
None of it's
yeah,
for us.
smooth. None of it's for us.
We don't have a website.
This is true. We do have an Instagram account. You can go and follow us there. We have a Twitter account too.
Good.
But I forgot what I was about to say. That was it. So you're just going to become nocturnal, basically.
I'm going to become Australian.
Oh, that's dangerous. I wouldn't recommend that.
Only for the weekend.
Is it a reversible process?
Find out on Monday.
Yeah, if you come in wearing just like a vest and thong, we sort of know we've got problems.
Mullet and a mustache.
Yeah, just come in looking like Valtteri Bottas. Could we replace you with Valtteri Bottas, actually? Is that
I
something we
think you'd
could
both
do?
pay to see me do that.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
No, I'm quite broke, but I would like
What
to
if you
see
made a
you.
donation to charity? Would that be better? You're not paying me, you're paying a good
Yeah.
cause.
Yeah,
If I'm
like.
a charity, then yeah.
Yeah. If Ellie Mae and I donated money to one another, as both of us understanding each other as the other charitable cause, would you then come in sort of full budgie smuggler's vest, sort of some sort of mullet and terrible facial hair?
I think I'd once again have to back up Ellie Mae here and say, why would she give you money when she's the charitable cause? It's
But I
your, it's
would
not her
also be
fault your
giving,
cars keep breaking down.
but I would also be giving her money as she is the charitable cause. So there is a
Yeah, so
donation
I think she
relation
should
at
just keep
play.
both bits of money then.
No, because then I'm down money and I still have a car to rebuild.
That's the donation of charity.
That's how charity works.
You're clearly unfamiliar with the concept.
No, I'm familiar with the idea of charity. I'm just aware that
You
one of my
just, you
cars
just, you
is
just
a
don't
charity
support it.
case. I support charities. I give £5 a month to WWF. Well, no. Yeah, WWF. I was about to say WWE, but that's the wrestling one. Anyway, if you want
That'd be
more
a
from.
fun thing if it's turned out you've been doing that all this time.
For years, I've accidentally just been sending £5 a month to John Cena. Anyway, if you want more of me, you can, of course, pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. It's got me driving a 1967 London ambulance in it. It goes well-ish.
Does it break down?
It does. You can actually find out about that if you watch the video on the Classic Car Weekly YouTube channel, which the video went live this morning and features friend of the podcast and friend of Ellie Mae's and I, Ian Skelton, in it a bit as well. And if you want even more of me in podcast form, you can find the Classic Car Weekly podcast and hear even more from me. If you want more from me still, at Jesse on Cars on most social media platforms will do the trick. By that point, you're probably seeing more of me than my girlfriend is at this point, so feel lucky. Otherwise, enjoy the Australian Grand
I
Prix.
don't.
I think
What's
that's
going to be the feeling they're going to be feeling?
yeah.
Before that, do we want to plug the Fantasy League?
Yes, we also have a fantasy league starting up. Go and join it if you want to. It was completely dominated by one guy last year. Maybe you'll beat him this time. We don't even know who he is. He appears, wins, and leaves.
Maybe
Sort
it's
of.
John Cena. We don't see him either.
brings
Maybe.
the whole thing back around.
Yeah.
He goes, you know what, this random bloke, he'd
Can't
give me
see me.
£5 every month. You know what? I'll join his fantasy league and beat him at it profusely.
Do you know, Warrior's family have given me gifts?
Who?
Warrior from
Thank God.
WWE.
I thought I was the only one. Well, you should know you donate money to them. I've got a good excuse. So in a way, I have been donating money to Ellie Mae via WWE, who someone from WWE then buys her gifts, which get given to her. So this counts as the charitable donation. So therefore,
Of all the money laundering schemes to get a Netflix special, this is not the one I was expecting to come this year.
but it does tick the box. You're showing up to the review for the Australian Grand Prix on Monday evening wearing a thong and a vest and a mullet, and we'll be
Thank God
back.
this is audio only podcast.
Yeah. I feel like we've just shot ourselves in the foot with this one. You guys won't see that. There we go. We'll be back with a review of the Australian podcast review of the Australian Grand Prix in podcast form on Monday evening. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.